If you watched Last of Us on HBO, we broke it down on the Prestige TV podcast. Van Lathan, Charles Holmes reacted to the first episode. Mallory Rubin and Joanna Robinson are going to be doing a deep dive analysis during the middle of the week. The Prestige TV podcast. Follow, subscribe. We're also brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network. I have new rewatchables coming on Monday night. It is the third installment of One Word Movie Month. It will be the most controversial choice. I don't know what to tell you. It felt like we had to do it, and that's all I'm going to say. So stay tuned for that one. Coming up on this podcast, Cousin Sal and I are going to break down a wild and woolly 5 games. Round one. Round one's not over yet. It's a 3-day round one. 5/6 of the way through. It was bonkers. It was crazy. It was predictable. It wasn't predictable. My head's still spinning from Saturday night. We're going to talk about it all next with the Cuz. First, our friends from Pearl Jam. Taping this 8:30 Sunday night. Just got through 5 games in 2 days. Round one not over yet. We still have another game tomorrow night. Sal, what was your favorite football moment of the weekend?
Oh, man, I loved it all. I really did. I went into this weekend thinking the Giants-Vikings is going to be the only thing that could save us. I had no idea what to expect from Chargers-Jags, which I still saw it and still don't know what to expect. But favorite one was that freaking fumble 6. I had a lot of money on Cincinnati there. So, yeah, that's unfortunate for the Ravens, but that was mine. What was yours?
Well, that had all the makings of the tease murderer where Baltimore scores. They inexplicably go for 2, but it turns out to be a great call. They're up 1 point. Cincinnati loses by 1. And everyone who teased Cincy 10 points, 7 points, whatever it was, just shaking their heads, holding the lost tickets. The bets were pretty chalk this weekend, except for that insane Chargers-Jaguars game, which we'll get to later. I thought that let's do Sunday and then we'll go backwards.
Yeah, I feel like we could do a 2-hour podcast on Dolphins Bills and a 4-hour podcast on Chargers Jaguars and then fit everything else into one. But yeah,
we'll say that. Maybe it'll be a 3-parter. Giants Vikes was the game of the day. Danny Dimes was the player of the day. Danny Dimes was the player of the weekend. Danny Dimes, thinking man's Josh Allen? Who would you rather have? I don't know.
Thinking
he does
man.
All the stuff I want from Josh Allen and none of the dumb Josh Allen stuff. I kid. Josh Allen is great. But Danny Dimes, 300 plus yards, 75 plus rushing, 2 touchdowns, no picks, on the road, super loud crowd, multiple times when he had to navigate like either the crowd near the end of the clock. They're doing like all these like complicated little run plays, flip plays. They did a Statue of Liberty. I just thought he was awesome. And we've been saying this for the last couple months. We were like, kind of like this Giants team. Think they're a little frisky. They're a little undermanned, but they're really well coached. I don't want to see this team. I compared them on Thursday's pod to like those Philly fighters from the 70s and 80s that just the weird styles. Nobody wants to fight them. They're just weird. They're unorthodox. And now they go into Philly next week. But I was not surprised they beat Minnesota. What'd you do in that game? Did you take the Giants?
I ended up taking the Vikings when it went down to 2.5. I was like, this is ridiculous. But I really am pissed at myself because all year, how many weeks were we saying this paper lion, paper tiger, whatever it is, paper Viking team in the with minus 19 point differential, whatever it is for a 12-4, 13-4 team was ridiculous. Oh, we can't wait to bet against Kirk Cousins. Then the opportunity presents itself. I mean, you and I and Hench and House, we're going over where do the Giants receivers rank in the top 5 or 6 or 7? Do you name a Giants receiver?
Well, that was before
spot number 5.
That was before he turned into Jerry Rice. We didn't expect that to happen.
Yeah, Isaiah Hodgins. Yeah, for sure.
Daboll, Daniel Jones, and Hodgins are the new Walsh. Montana Rice, it was feeling like by the end of that game. Yeah, they've been doing it all year. They got better as the year went along. They played Minnesota a few weeks ago, and that game could have gone either way. And yet, they're up 7. Minnesota has the ball, and we've watched them do this all year. Like, Slayton drops that pass on 3rd and 15. He's wide open, waiting for the Giants drop all game. They do it twice a game, waiting, waiting, waiting. Finally happens. And you're like, oh, my God. this garbage Viking team. They're going to do it again. They get the roughing the passer call where you thought it was a helmet hit.
I thought they called it on the helmet. I didn't think they called it on the swing. Yeah,
whatever
I
mean, it was. It was not roughing the passer, whatever it was. All of a sudden, they're at the 50. And it's like, oh, my God, they're going to do this again. And then the Giants held. And Cousins checks down on 4th and 8. He throws it 3 yards to Hockenson, who's completely covered, and the game's over. And it was a little similar to that Josh Dobbs play a week ago, which was 4th and 17. But
watch that play again when you get off with me, because he has receivers. I'm not going to say every receiver was open past the sticks, but at least they were past the sticks. What was he doing? Is he so concerned about his completion percentage? Are we still at that stage with Kirk Cousins? So
it was almost he just thought Hockenson was winning the matchup, but it's like, well, maybe, but not when the guy's tackling him as he's catching it.
He's not at that angle.
Yeah, listen, it was a huge victory for the advanced metrics community. It really was. Like DVOA, Football Outsiders, all of these Pythagorean formula, all that stuff. I know you talked about it on your pod. I talked about it on my pod on Thursday with Raheem and Heifetz. Like, there was just an overwhelming amount of evidence that this Minnesota team was fraudulent. They finished the season in 6th worst in DVOA. Every other team that's ever been in the ballpark of that, they lose in the playoffs. But yet, the Giants still had to play well. And I don't know, man. I believe in this Giants team. I really do. I think they have enough good players that they can kind of cheat with the holes. Like, their linebackers can't cover anybody. And Dimes has done it all year. He has a bunch of 3rd and 4th and 5th receivers. Hodgins was waived by Buffalo in November, became their number one guy, basically. But they know how to use him. He's got a ton of confidence now. And I go back to that game. What was that? It was probably like 5th or 6th game of the season when Jones screwed up. He threw a pick. Maybe it was like earlier than that. It might have been in September. Jones threw a pick in the end zone in the 4th quarter. And he came back and Daboll just screamed at him for like 45 seconds. And I remember we were laughing about it that night. Like, oh, man, like Daboll, like he's probably going to try to get Daniel Jones killed on these sweeps. But I don't know. He put some chest hair on the dude. The guy's really good now.
Well, he's good. First, a couple things. First of all, can we talk about the psychology of betting and our loser friends and what it does to our minds? Like, we saw the Vikings play like horse crap for, you know, what, one score games, whatever you want to say, but they win 13 wins this year. But whatever. We knew what they were going in, but yet everybody was on the Giants. You want to know what shied me away from that pick? Everybody we knew what was on the Giants, right?
Everybody.
That's one. Number two, yes, you're right. This Daboll thing, you want to see it with Daniel Jones, and they're going to have to pay, right? The Giants have to pay him now. They kind of have, like, whereas 6 weeks ago, you weren't sure. Just in this last month, that's when it really turned the corner.
I would say it's the last, like, 6-7 weeks, but I think Flacco's the ultimate example because he went on one of the great playoff runs and probably the greatest in football history and ends up just, he bet on himself, he wins. But it's like a poor man's Flacco. Like, I do think he's going to be $120 million for 4 years. By the way, I would pay it. I think he's good. I think he's figured it out.
Yeah.
It's a rare loss for both of us. Both of us were completely out on like a quarterback evaluation.
Right.
Where I just feel like after 2 years, I'm like, I'm either in or I'm out. And this is one of the rare cases where it's like, I was completely out. And about two months ago, I was like, this guy's good. I can't deny it anymore. When you bet against him, he's scary. When you bet on him, you have confidence in him. He's good.
All right, here's my reservations. Want to hear my reservations? Not for the future. They should sign Danny Dimes because everything else is such a crapshoot, whether it's through the draft or if you want to take a chance with Derek Carr, which he won't work out in New York anyway, but whatever. Sign him. But as far as for next week, like, or this game that we saw today, they're going to go up against a better Eagles defense. The Vikings had quadrants of the field wide open. Like, I couldn't even understand it. Like, that drag route is effective, but should it be wide open every single time? Whether it's really these guys that we've never heard of? And we'll give Daboll credit, but the Jets had 464 yards passing against the Vikings. So I want to put everything a little bit in perspective.
Thanksgiving night, that was such a brutal Patriots loss because it felt like we could move the ball on them up and down the field. And we lost that game. It was one of the many terrible Pats games. But yet they do it all year. They were able to pull these stupid games out and it seemed like they were headed for another one. I have a Giants question for you. I have a couple, actually. Is Dimes the best quarterback in the NFC right now?
I heard you saying that. Yeah.
Who did I say that to? I texted it to you, but am I?
No, you didn't even ask us. You said he was. You didn't even give us a chance to respond. At least you're. Well,
would you rather
now.
Like Hurts is hurt, but Hurts is probably still over him. But it's at least like he's playing Hurts next week. I feel like that's a draw.
I know.
At worst now, right? Who do you trust more in a playoff game, Dimes or Hurts? We haven't seen Hurts go on the road and do that in a playoff game yet.
Oh, my God. I think you're right. I think you're right.
I'm right.
Cooper Rush 1, Dimes 2, Hurts 3. Yeah, you're right. He's top 2. He's in there. I know. It's scary. He doesn't turn you. You said it exactly. It's like he does the things you don't want. You want Josh Allen. Josh Allen was dying to turn the ball over today, you know, running with the ball. But Dimes running at 7 yards a clip before anybody even like touched him was ridiculous today.
You know what Josh Allen reminded me of today? Turn the TikTok camera on, Kyle. Uh-oh. This is a quick
Let's dance. Let's dance.
It was a Trae Young type of performance from Josh Allen today. It was a hero ball. It was, I'm pulling up from 28. I want to see if this goes in. He was just throwing deep. He didn't need to throw deep. Move the ball down the field. That Miami team couldn't cover anybody in their team. And he was so fat. He hit Diggs on that long pass in the first quarter. And he's like, man, I bet I can just do this once every 10 minutes. And I just thought, like, first of all, he wasn't using his legs. Second of all, there was that one time when they got the ball back in the fourth quarter, he just immediately hucked it downfield, missed the guy. Now it's second and 10. I just thought it was a lot of hero ball from him. Whereas like Dimes, I just think Dimes is like just surgically going down the field. That how many times did the Giants have the ball in that game? I think they had like 8 drives, maybe 7.
Yeah.
And the Giants just had these long drives, methodical, really smart. And that's why I think Dimes might be the thinking man's Josh Allen, cuz.
I think the other thing we have to examine is who has the best quarterback sneak at this point, right? Because there's a fourth and one.
Lawrence had a good one yesterday.
He had a nice one. Dimes starts with his foot back, and I'm most confident in his, I think. Josh Allen's, I'm not. Probably
because it feels
not
like he might fumble.
Yeah. Yeah,
Brady's still
the
GOAT, though. Brady's still the best. I still feel
I
like
guess
Brady's
the last couple
hungry
weeks,
now and getting the yard.
Yeah.
But Lawrence, that one he had yesterday when he kind of swung the ball like it was a machete.
Mm-hmm.
And it just felt like he was 7 feet all of a sudden. That was good.
Well, he was 6'7". Wasn't that was that the tallest quarterback playoff matchup we've ever seen? Like 13,
I think it was.
13 feet between the two of them?
Finishing last in this discussion, Huntley.
Yeah. Right.
For QB sneaks.
Absolutely.
Huntley reaching over from the 2 yard line.
You lose all your momentum when you leave your feet, right? It's like when they say sliding into first base doesn't help you at all. It's kind of the same thing. Oh, here's the ball. Come get it.
Well, the Giants had a moment, and I knew they were going to go for it with like 3 minutes left around midfield. It was fourth and one, maybe fourth and two thirds of one. And I just thought Dimes was getting it. And we go back and forth on, you know, now it's turned into it's turned into blackjack where it's like, you got to do it every time or, you know, and I don't think it's like that. I think it's a little situational. Like when Peterson went for the 2 yesterday from the 1 yard line, when it was 30-26, I thought it was smart. They had a ton of momentum and they were doing everything they wanted against the Chargers. I thought they were going to get it. Their quarterback 6'7". Whereas like when they went for it in the first quarter, when it was 4th and 7, early in the game, after he'd already thrown a pick that got tipped twice, I wouldn't have done that. Like, you know, so I think it is situational. But with the Giants, I thought they were getting it.
Yeah. Yeah. It is situational. I mean, you're not going to wait for the Bengals' third offensive lineman to go down and be like, all right, yeah, let's QB sneak it now in Burrow, right? It's different from everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. The Bengals still have offensive linemen going down. I have to ask, maybe keep the TikTok camera on. So we'll put a bow in this Giants Vikes game. Are there any 07 Giants parallels, like 2011, like maybe more 2011 parallels to this team, this Giants team? Because I think, you know, we both know a ton of Giants fans.
Yeah, too many.
They have a quiet confidence in this team now. They are not afraid to go into Philly. They believe in Dimes. They really, really, really believe in this coach. The coach is great. He's been the best coach all season.
Yeah.
And I think they can go into Philly and win. And are you starting to get like a little 07 flashbacks, a tiny bit?
I'm starting to match up players like that Isaiah Hodgins, right? I mean, is he going to catch a ball on his helmet, right? Is he going to pull the David Tyree? Right. Like, there's actual player comparisons. You're right. But yeah, Giant fans, I know too many. I'm too close to, well, you hate them for different reasons for those two games, but I'm just head-to-head battling with them every time. And the thing with Giants fans is they're like, it's all gravy. We don't care. We weren't supposed to win 8-9 games, so it's all gravy. And then I'm like, oh, I almost had a heart attack. Real, I almost punched my grandmother in the face on that last drive. Like, what happened to the all gravy thing?
Yeah,
that's what sports
you're
is
so
about.
Right.
It just doesn't matter. It's
especially the Giants fans. They like to do this fake rope-a-dope. No. I'm just glad we made it. It's like you definitely don't feel that way. You're watching the game alone right now. Nobody's in the room with you, and you're throwing shit on every down.
Yeah.
The Daboll thing's been amazing, though. And their offensive coordinator, I think, Kafka.
Mm-hmm.
I think has to be looked at too. And I don't know how much of it is Daboll versus how much of it is Kafka, but man, that team every week, they're the most put together. They should have beaten Minnesota the last time they played. So they're going to Philly. We'll do guess the lines later. I had one last note on that game. I thought Burkhart and Olsen were really good. That was the first time I thought to myself, this actually might be a number one team. I thought they matched the excitement of the game. I thought they had real insight. Like on that fourth and one play we mentioned, they were all over like, oh, this is what they've done all year. They're going to go for this. This is smart. Whereas like that game we had last night with Dungy and our guy Al Michaels, that was one of the worst announced games that was actually a memorable game we've ever had. Like that game's going to be on NFL Network. They're going to have to dub new announcers in the game.
Yeah, you're right.
What happened?
Here's what happened. I think they said, Al, you have a choice here. We could have Tony come in, Tony Dungy, and join you in the booth, or I could inject you with tryptophan. It's going to be the same result. You pick, but you know, whatever you want. He's like, well, I'd like the company. Make room for Tony. All the Tonys aren't great at this. Romo's great. Dungy could stay home. I'm sorry. That's just, it was embarrassing. You need Al to be interested in this game. And it was a blowout at halftime. How are you going to bring him back with Tony Dungy?
I think Herbie during the year, as he slowly realized Herbie had never seen an NFL game before, it sucked the life out of him. And then they stick him with Dungy for the last game. And I have a lot of respect for Dungy as a thinker and a career. He just shouldn't be a color guy in a game. Like if you're going to have him, you have to have a second color guy to have a three-man booth or something. But you can't just have Dungy. It's just not enough energy.
I think Herbie was the big winner in that game. And I think Urban Meyer maybe was the big loser where it was looking really good for him for a minute. But
yeah, you're right. Let's take a break. I want to talk about that game. All right, we're going to go jump around. I thought we were going to do Sunday and go backwards, but we got to talk about that Chargers-Jags game. Lawrence with one of the most amazing 180s I've ever seen in a football game. And usually like there's been some parallels, right? Like I was thinking when we had it, it was 24-0. Punt hits the guy in the helmet. Chargers recover on the 6. And there's like 5.5 minutes left in the second quarter. And I had the Jags in this kooky 15.5 tees in real life. And I'm thinking like, if they score here, I'm done. Two plays and then third down, he throws it over Allen's head and Allen's wide open. And Michaels, of course, his voice doesn't even go up, but they don't even really explain why he completely missed him. So it's 27-0. But even that moment, I would have said the odds of the Jags winning that game were completely improbable. What's weird is that nobody got hurt. There was no sort of like seminal, like that Chargers Colts game. I remember I bet on the Chiefs Colts like 7-8 years ago when Jamar Charles got concussed. Luck brought the Colts back against the Chiefs. The Chiefs were like, guys were getting hurt. They were running out of people. And it was like, you could feel the game shifting. This one, I never really felt that way until all of a sudden the guy missed the field goal and it was 30-20. And now the Jags were driving. It's like, shit, they have a chance to cut it to 3. And then they cut it to 2. And it's like, the Chargers aren't even covering anymore. But when did you start to think the Chargers were actually going to lose that game?
When they came out in the third quarter and Staley hadn't been fired. I was like, whoa, there's a real chance here. By the way, someone did, this might be bullshit, but someone bet $1.4 million to win $11,000 on the Chargers.
I don't believe
money
it.
Line.
I saw that story. I just don't believe it.
It's fun to
Who would do that? What friend do we have? We know a lot of degenerates. What friend do we have that would do that?
I might do it if I had the money, but yeah, it's fun to call people out like that. No, I'm not even kidding. As long as he's the coach, and he does not know how to kill clock. I was going through my head because they passed so much more than they needed to. So it's either one of two things. Either he doesn't know like the game is over when the time expires. Like, no, it's first to 50, right? Isn't it first to 50 points? Like, no. You got to run the clock. Or he doesn't know that the clock runs when you run the ball. You know what I mean? It's one of two things. How is he a coach in the league? He's going to be gone by the time this posts, right?
I thought he's going to be gone today. I thought they were going to do it during the football games. They ran the ball 7 times in the second half.
Here's what's worse, they ran it in the second half.
And their defense gave up, what, 5 straight touchdown drives?
5 straight touchdowns. Plus 5 in turnovers, and they lost, which, by the way, that's fireable. I don't even care if it's in the preseason. That should be a fireable offense right there. But also, worse than all that, did you see when they were snapping the ball when the clock was running? 22 seconds left, 16 seconds left, 18 seconds left. He never took the clock down to 3 or 4. I mean, this guy's a maniac. He really is. It's malpractice.
It was completely fireable. What's funny is this is what Atlanta did in the Patriots game, the 28-3 game. And if you just added up all the times Matt Ryan snapped it with like 20 seconds, 15 seconds left on clock, Pats don't even get the ball again for the last drive. I did the whole podcast about this a while ago, or at least a piece of a podcast. They just didn't understand, like, you're not even playing the Pats anymore. You're not playing the Jaguars anymore. You're just playing the clock. It's just, you just want that clock to move 35. It was like Baltimore today. The 2-minute drill when they're just killing. Oh no! Wait, they were down in the game. My bad. When they were huddling with 1:50 left in the game for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
No, it was coaching malpractice. And then you go back to last week where he gets Mike Williams hurt, where they really needed him. Especially they had another receiver go out during the game, but you really felt it around like in the red zone, like that first to goal from the 6. That was Mike Williams' territory. He would have had that one play where he got in pass interference. It's impossible to lose that game. I've never seen a game in my life where somebody turned the ball over 5 times in the first half and won the game. It's never happened in my lifetime in a game I've watched.
Yeah, and those are the worst stats any quarterback ever had through a first quarter, right? In Trevor Lawrence. Like, they had all the... They were on the road, which is where they make their hay, right? How did they blow this? Oh, he's got to go. I mean, Justin Herbert deserves better. He just does. The great quarterbacks are the ones that could be great, need to be paired with at least decent coaches. Forget about like protecting quarterbacks and sacks and stuff like that and late hits and whatever you want to do. Protect them from themselves and having bad records because they're stuck with coaches don't know what they're doing.
Well, Herbert's the internet darling. Mm-hmm. I just have to point out, missing Allen on that throw was a murder because that game's over. If they 31-0 is insurmountable. Right. And I didn't think he was a top 5 reason they lost in the second half, but he certainly... They were just kind of sending him straight back, and then there's 5 guys on him. They weren't using his legs at all. He's so good moving around. They weren't doing that at all. It was a really poorly coached game, and maybe I think it was a Hall of Fame playoff loss. I got to say, like, if Falcons 28-3 is the 10 out of 10 and like Ernest Biner, like that wasn't up there, but it was like a level below. But the good news if you're a Chargers fan is it now opens the door for Sean Payton. Yes. Which is all that should matter. Now, I've asked some people who know stuff. Everyone who knows things seems to think the Chargers are way too cheap to fire Staley and then pay Sean Payton.
Right.
This is a team that's like a tenant in somebody else's football stadium.
Yeah.
So who knows? But Sean Payton, if I'm him, this is the job I want. I get to coach Justin Herbert and I get to be in LA. That's the best job by far. You're going to go to Carolina. You're going to go to like New Orleans? Like, come on. It's no contest.
Right. First of all, I think he likes it out here because he does. I know he does. I mean, not that he wants to make his career or his life or everything, but he definitely likes it out here. And it's funny, like Denver meets with him tomorrow in LA. He's like, I'll meet with you, but meet in LA. Like, all right, so what does that look like? They take him out to dinner. Like, wow, Mastro's is great. I could have this every night. Yeah, but no. But remember, we're with Denver. Oh, okay. All right. I think he does end up here. I think it makes sense for all the sense in the world. He wants a quarterback, right? He's not going to one of these bad teams that doesn't have a draft pick, doesn't want to take a chance on one of these college quarterbacks. It really is perfect.
Well, you know, it wasn't perfect. Our 12-1 AFC Chargers.
I'm sorry. I talked you into some duds.
You didn't talk me into anything. I went willingly and I was excited about it. But we did it before that Week 18 game. And right. then it's like Mike Williams went out. Oh, that's not great. Bosa's out. Oh, that's not great. But then Williams, it turned out he had a small fracture in his back playing in this game that didn't matter. We talked about this last week. The Bosa thing was hilarious.
Mm.
So Jacksonville's not going for two if it's 30-26 from the 2 yard line. That's doesn't make sense. From one, it made sense because they have a tall quarterback, whatever. Bosa comes off the field and clearly it was a false start. Like there's no question. It was one of many terrible calls he missed. He doesn't even get off the field and whips his helmet down. And Staley, for some reason, scutters over to him like, you know, like a like waiter and like picking up his napkin and gives him his helmet back. And then Bosa whips it again. It was, I'd watched that clip like 7-8 times, but Bosa ended up really murdering them because I think that it sounds weird, but there's such a big difference between 30-27 and 30-28. 30-28, it was like, oh my God, they're going to lose. 30-27 is like, eh, all right. You're fine. Field goal catches you, but you know, but the 30-28 was like the Grim Reaper, and it was all because of Bosa. It was his fault.
And what did he, do you think he thought when he gave him back? Like, oh, coach liked what he saw. I'm going to do it again? Or I'm just throw it again. Come on, do it again for distance this time. What did he say? What did he say to the ref? Because he didn't get called for the throw in the helmet, right? He got called for what he said. The ref kind of chased him up the field there a little bit. It was so weird.
The whole thing was strange. So our guy Doug Peterson, who we've poked fun at a little, going for two was great. He was super aggressive in the second half, and you know, I do think whether you think he's a good coach or not, there is something to be said for like, oh, that guy beat Belichick with Nick Foles in a playoff game. When you're down like that, at least he has some gravitas where if you're the Chargers and you're like, Brandon Staley's never going to be a head coach again. This is our guy. It was a little bit different, but I thought he had a couple good ones. But that 2-point play, did you like that when they did that? Because I actually liked it. I don't know why.
Normally I did.
I would hate it. But at that time I was like, the Chargers are reeling. This is great. You should definitely do this.
That's what we talk about. Momentum, how easy it was to score on the drive getting there, all that stuff. The Chargers being the Chargers, whether it was going to be a coach or a quarterback or a kicker missing a field goal. It's like it all pointed in the direction of, all right, Jaguars, just don't take your foot off the gas and you'll be there at the end.
Chargers, just a doomed team. Very similar to the Clippers. Feels like they should just merge.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. We'll quickly rip through Niners Seahawks, and then we'll do the other two, which will be more fun.
Interesting Seattle, that this became the biggest blowout, but it was like a 1-point. Like Geno was 9-for-10 the first half, and we're like, holy crap, do we have to bet away from our we have a hedge against our money line parlays here?
Yeah, I was never that worried. What upset me was one of my bet, and it was a smaller bet, but it was $1 million picks where I'd see it. San Francisco first half wins the game. Buffalo first half wins the game. The parlay of it was +115. So it's 16-14. They I think kick a field, whatever they do. The Niners go up two and there's 13 seconds left. And I like went to the bathroom. I went to go get chips. I didn't even realize that they squib kicked it, had a penalty, and Seattle somehow scored. And I lost the first half Seattle, but I had no idea. It comes back and it's like, all right, let's start Seattle 17-16.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, what? I had no idea what happened. So rewinding it on the freaking TV.
The guy was an idiot. They needed 40 yards in 8 seconds and he like speared him on the ground. Like so stupid.
So dumb. But yeah, Seattle, they made it fun for about an hour and a half. The big thing was Purdy. Two big things. One was Purdy. We needed to see him do it. There was a moment there in the first quarter where he had a couple iffy throws. I was like, oh, is he going to turn into a pumpkin? Nope. He was great. But the big thing for me that I took away from that game, and this is something that some of the smarter football people have been saying, people smarter than us who watch the 22-man film and all that shit. Mm. And they were like, you can throw on the Niners. You can throw over the top on them.
Yeah.
You could do this. And we watched Metcalf just completely torch them. And now I'm thinking, so they're going to be playing either Dallas or Tampa, two teams that are going to be able to throw over the top on them. Your team should be able to throw over the top of them if you can get by tomorrow night. So did that make you feel better about the game if you have to play them?
No, I love this team. I mean, I don't love them. They're obviously rooting for my Cowboys if they get there, but I think just eventually they figure it out. It doesn't matter. And they shut you down and what was it, 25-6 in the second half. Seattle
well, they scored 25 straight.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 25 nothing. Yeah, right. I guess Seattle scored six at the end there. And what's getting me crazy is I can't pinpoint who this Brock Purdy reminds me of. I mean, who do you think? Like, he'll even in his incomplete passes where he'll roll left and like really just like tiptoe along the left sideline and then throw it away. Like, oh man, that kid's smart. How is he doing that? You know? And so there's a little like weird like Favre in there. I don't know. Like who pops up when you think of him?
First of all, thanks for asking.
Yeah.
He reminds me of later career Rich Gannon.
Really?
That's the vibe. Like Rich Gannon was a little smaller and he used to be a scrambler initially. And
give him a better upside than that. Give him a little
Rich
better
Gannon
upside,
was the MVP of the league. Rich Gannon made the Super Bowl. He had the tuck roll game where they could have made it second time. Yeah, Rich Gannon was a real guy for like 3 years there.
I guess he was. That's right. All right, I apologize.
So he reminded me of that. Like game manager, can use his legs when he needs to, but kind of doesn't, you know, very calm. Mm-hmm. I think the big thing for him, if you have a rookie quarterback and you're a team like the Niners that has that many weapons, is you just want to make sure your quarterback seems like he thinks he belongs there. And that guy has a lot of confidence.
So we
said it that first night. Remember, we did that whole segment and our friend Brent Montgomery, we saw him at the JKL 20th thing on Friday. And he was like, why don't you guys get more praise for being on this Purdy thing? And I was like, I don't know. That's not how this stuff works. And we're wrong plenty of times too. But we were on the Purdy thing from week one. Cause it was like, he just, from the moment he went in, he looked like he belonged. And that's, he's never wavered from that. We haven't even seen him have a bad half yet.
He's not going to screw it up for them. I'm almost positive at this point with 3 weeks left. And I think he'll be playing in all three games left in 3 weeks. He won't screw it up.
Seems like
I don't know who will. They're really damn good. I will say who's not good, the meteorologists, those creeps. I bet I had the under in everything. And like, how could they be that far off? It was like sunshine throughout. They missed the monsoon by hours. And I'm good to these people. I tip my meteorologists. I don't know if you do. When they're right, I'm all over. Give them a nice Christmas gift. This was bad.
That was a big Warren Sharp thing because he was like, the weather's going to be bad. That kills Seattle. They won't be able to throw the ball over the top. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, the weather's fine. And
well, the reason it hurt us is because we had the Bills to be the top scoring team at
yeah.
And we didn't count on the Niners to score 41 in a mudstorm.
That was stupid. I made up for it. I hit a Danny Dimes over completions 22.5 with Giants to win. It was like 3-1. So I won. Oh, nice. I was able to win our little bet that we made on the highest scoring team.
Send me my half. Yeah.
I've never won that highest scoring team of the weekend bet. I don't think ever in my life. It's always like, remember last year it was like the Rams, I think, mm-hmm. and the last day had the most against the Cardinals. And it's always the team you don't expect. I thought the Giants were going to do it for a second today.
They were scoring. I've never even won it. Like when it's just a Super Bowl left, I've not won the high scoring team. That's how bad I am. I can't pick between two. Damn it.
We had, the announcing crew wasn't awesome in that one. Joe Davis, like, he's very polished, but just mm-hmm. a little more personality. Like just, you can't sound like you're an AI announcer. I'm telling you, I thought Burkhart and Olsen, won the weekend. I thought they were really good.
Let me tell you what's especially good about Burkhart and Olsen. I look at that game aesthetically. I'm like, oh, crap, this is indoors. I feel like everything this time of year should be outdoors. It takes something away from it, you know? But they brought you back in. I mean, it was a good game, too, but...
They were really good. Olsen's really good. So two things with the Niners. One is I do wish that game had been Lions-Niners. I think that would have been a more like explosive game. I think they would have scored more points than the Lions. We just thought the Lions and then Pittsburgh.
Right.
I think Pittsburgh could have gone into Buffalo and beaten them. The way Buffalo's playing, we'll get to them in a second.
Yeah.
But the other thing with the Niners, they're now like, what do they do with Trey Lance? They traded all these picks for Trey Lance, right? To move up to the third pick. Mm-hmm. And they end up getting their quarterback on the last pick of the seventh round, who's clearly better than Trey Lance. So now what do you do? Is Trey Lance now available? Would you trade for Trey Lance? Like, he's coming off an injury. They have two quarterbacks that I feel like could probably start for other teams. But Purdy should, unless Purdy completely self-destructs, I feel like he's going to be the guy.
Well, I don't even know what you'd get for him. Right, because Trey Lance? Team that needs a court, Yeah. Would you, if you're another team, you'd make him your starter, Trey Lance? If you're like any of these teams that need a quarterback?
I mean, 12 teams need a quarterback.
Oh, man. I see, to me, it's like roll the
they
dice.
They probably keep him. Yeah, they probably keep him,
roll
right?
Roll the dice. Yeah, well, they'd keep him, but I'm saying the other teams, I think it's better to just even go into the draft or something.
Purdy was 18 for 30, 332 mm-hmm. yards, 3 touchdowns, 0 picks. This is like continues to be the most incredible story. It's not, there's really not a lot of angles on it other than to say this is incredible, but this is incredible. And it makes you think like just how stupid drafting is.
Yeah.
You know, like we see it with Philly did the process. I was talking to Lombardi about this. Philly did the process and somehow didn't take Giannis, right? Their whole thing is we're just going to take projects and we're going to suck for multiple years. Somehow they don't take Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
The Niners trade all of their guys, all their picks to get Trey Lance. And now they're starting the last pick of the 7th round. It's like, there's fucking no rhyme or reason to this.
All right, Bill, let's take a look at that. I mean, that's your second NBA reference. Let's take a look at the next gen stats for Bill injecting 2 basketball references.
I just love how he keeps bringing the NBA into this.
113% that Bill was going to mention the NBA twice in a half.
The way he weaved in Giannis, there's nobody better. There's nobody better.
He really loves his basketball, I'll tell you.
All right, let's go to Dolphins Bills. You watched that Jets Dolphins game, right?
Yeah.
Where Skylar Thompson was an abomination.
Right, yeah, that one.
Like couldn't do anything. And today, I thought if his receivers had caught a couple more passes, and there was a couple great like last second tips by the Bills, he could have like 400 yards passing in this game. He's really good, kept him in it. And then on the flip side, Allen kept him out of it. It was the same thing we saw with the Jets game. It was the same thing we saw with the Patriots in week 18. Teams are just moving the ball on the Bills defense. And I honestly think the Steelers could have beaten them or come close if that had been the 7th seed. And now I look at this Cincinnati team coming in and you think like, this is what a setup for them. And yet Cincinnati lost another offensive lineman today. Now they don't have their left tackle, their right tackle, or their right guard. We don't know if the left tackle is coming back. But they might have this decimated offensive line, and somebody's going to get this Bills team, and I just don't know what week it's going to be. But defensively, I just don't think they have it. I have not seen it from them.
No. Well, first of all, none of it would have mattered if I didn't text you. I'll just read it at 10:56 a.m. because we had the Bills to be the high scoring team. What was it, 17-0?
Yeah, no, it was 14. 21. It was 14-0, and they scored to make it 21-0, and we went to commercial. It was 20-0.
20. All right. And I text, perfect start for us. Did you hammer the Bills blowout ranges? Because in addition to the top scorer, we had Bills by 21-25, 25 or more. And you're like, no, I didn't. I just did the first, I just did our scoring bet. And I was like, what's the matter with you? What? And then what happened? Milano misses a tackle.
No, they overruled the touchdown.
That's right. They brought it back. So
they took it off the
goal.
Board. So we went from 21-0 to all of a sudden it was 17-7. We went backwards, and then from there, it just became a comedy.
Two field goals, two long drives for field goals. But even with that, we had 34 with 2 minutes left in the third quarter.
We had
34
the whole fourth quarter. Yeah.
Right. We could have gotten
Allen
41.
Was just trying to do his hero ball 55-yarder to somebody. I don't get it. I didn't understand. The missed tackling, I thought, was alarming.
Mm-hmm.
I thought... Skylar Thompson was picking them apart and finding guys all over the place and buying time. And they just weren't impressive. It was not a good win if you're the Bills. Like, you advanced to round 2, but you can't feel awesome about this next game. And now, you know, we're going to have this really, really, really surreal Bills-Bengals matchup. This is 3
Their defense
weeks after
wasn't
the
great.
Hamlin game, right? Like,
yeah,
where it's like, now it's like, all right, hey guys, we're going to do this again. It's just all the whole vibe is just weird.
It really is weird. And Josh Allen's play is weird. He has 30 interceptions / fumbles this year. That's an astounding number. And it looked like he wanted more, right? Like, he wanted just the way he was carrying the ball. And like you said, their defense, you know, they miss Von Miller. It's not impressive. Now, like you said, if the offensive linemen are out, if all these guys, if it's Kappa, Collins, and Williams all out, they may get to him 5 or 6 times and won't matter. But I think the fans won this game for them. I called this game the prior to the snap bowl because they had to move the Giants-Vikings kickoff 20 minutes because this was so long, and it wasn't because of an injury, thank God, right? It was all because we couldn't get any plays off, and there were incomplete passes, and it was like, prior to the snap, false start, prior to the snap, this guy took his home, prior to the, it was so many prior to the snaps. It was terrible, and it just wasn't Bills football. There was no flow, so it's going to be interesting next week. I don't know what to make of it.
It cost me 2 real-life bets because I was going to bet on the Giants, and I was waiting because it was +3, -120 odds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wait till it gets closer, see if that changes. And the freaking Bills game went so long that I flipped over to Fox, and it was right. 4 minutes in. And right. I was like, wait, I missed it? So somehow I don't get a Giants bet in. And then I'm like, well, now I was going to bet on the Bengals and maybe tease the Bengals in the under. I'm sorry, the Ravens, and tease the Ravens in the under, or maybe, mm-hmm. like, or maybe do Ravens straight up. That line dipped to like 8, 7.5 range.
Yep.
And I said to myself, because you and I have been in this situation many times, like, well, I've missed this bet with the Giants that would have won. That's money mm-hmm. lost. I can't now chase it with this other bet. So I'm just going to back off for the rest of the day and keep the big teases I had. And then, of course, the Ravens covered too. So it cost me 2 bets.
They screwed us. They really did. And you know what?
That game was 4 hours. How did we have a 4-hour regulation game?
Not only was it 4 hours, maybe it's comparing it to a Springsteen concert, but just 4 hours in regulation. And the fans really won it for them. With all those prior to the snaps, a lot of it was because it was so damn loud. I was getting reports from Bills fans like, wow, it's loud as it's ever been in here. It really is. So good job by them.
The game was so long that Romo ran out of ways to say, here we go, Jim. So, he started saying in other languages, Como se dice, Jim?
He did.
Singing Spanish, French. Yeah. I think he ripped off 15 here we go, Jims, because the snap count kept messing him
up. He's very versatile. I don't know.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. I have no idea why. And why not? I mean, we're going to have all these games. We're going to start a playoff game when the other game is still going on and it's a 3-point game. Can't wait. Can't knock that one, wait. Push it back.
The fans will wait the extra 12 minutes. Believe me. You get your bets together. It's the exact reason you laid out.
We need a break. We need a
10-minute.
You
want to be able to think. Yeah.
All we care about these days are gambling ads and all the gambling being legal in all these states. And this is like, give us 10 minutes.
Run your Magnum PI Night Court.
Right.
Ads, run them back to back for 12 minutes. We're fine. We're good. We'll do something else.
I was like, wait, that's not Magnum. Where's his mustache? What's going on?
Really didn't look like him. Really doesn't.
No, it 100% didn't. I thought Josh Allen looked like Mitch Trubisky. I wrote that down. I wrote down that there were so many ads in that game. And I don't know whether it was just a long game, so we noticed the ads, but it really felt like, because CBS only had one game that they had, mm-hmm. they thought they're going to have 2 games, and they sold 2 games of ads. So they're just cramming the ads in. Like it was like a, you know, Harry's dinner plate.
Right.
And then the Tua thing, is that the biggest what if of the season now? Because I think if, no, let's take away all the Tua concussions and it's just healthy Tua in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Could they have beaten the Bills? Because it really seems like they thought they could play with them. And the announcers over and over again were like, Mike McDaniel told us, blah, blah, blah. He felt great. But do they win that game with Tua?
They might, but it was such, that was the other weird part of it, right? Like, forget how long, well, I guess this leads into why it was so long, the incomplete passes, because everyone was dropping balls in the sun. Like, I went to school in upstate New York. The sun came out, not in January. You didn't see the sun in January, let alone like a 1 o'clock game. Like, why were people losing the ball in the sun? Waddle had to drop 2 in the sun, right? Diggs dropped 1. It was very weird. So I don't want to say inserting Tua in definitely gets them there, but yeah, maybe. Well, with Thompson's numbers, it was terrible for them having been.
They
in
were
there.
Terrible, but he did have at least 4 or 5.
Sorry,
4 or 5 passes that were dead on, and either they got dropped mm-hmm. or picked at the last second.
Yeah, 18 for 45, and they were right in it.
Well, the other thing with that game, a lot of people probably talked themselves into the 3-team 10-pointer. Mm-hmm. Once that Buffalo line got up to like 13.5, we were like, oh man, I don't want to tease that, not have it go below the 3. Then you look at it a little longer, Skylar Thompson. And then you finally talk yourself into it and the Bills win by three.
Yeah.
So that was a tease killer.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what else killed him. I don't know if like Tua being in made a difference. Probably. Mostert. You and I loved Mostert.
Yeah, that was tough.
You could have used him for sure in there. What did they end up having? Like Jeff Wilson was their leading rusher with 23 yards.
Yeah, that's probably next week if the Bengals are able to run the ball at all with whatever offensive lineman they have. Mm-hmm. You got to pound it through the Bills. I don't think they're a very good tackling team. You mentioned the Von Miller thing. The pass rush isn't quite what it used to be. And Allen's been sloppy. He just has. He's no Danny Dimes, I'll tell you that much. All right, we'll take a break, and then we'll talk Ravens, Bengals, and do a little Guess the Lines. All right, last game was Bengals-Ravens, which was a weird one. Classic Ravens. The Ravens, to me, are so similar. And so I've said this before, so similar to the Miami Heat, where it doesn't even matter who's out there. It just feels like in a playoff game, they're going to hang around and be close. And what was uncharacteristic, they really fucked up the last couple minutes of that game, especially the 2-minute drive. Like Harbaugh left that game with a timeout.
Two, really. I mean, the clock was stopped with 8 seconds left and he took his second timeout. Yeah. So
the whole clock, man, they had about 3:30 left, got down to 2 minutes. It was like a 4th and 1, I think. 3rd and 1, 4th and 1, whatever it was. They get it.
Yeah.
And they huddle. They don't use the timeout. That's fine. But how do you not have the second play? When you get it, they don't snap the next play until it's like 125. I think it was an incomplete. Now it's 120. And I think they only ran 4 or 5 plays in the last 2 minutes of the game. It was very uncharacteristic. I always thought he was on his shit. But, you know, that's not why they lost. They lose because of the QB sneak where I've been waiting for this to happen, just for the record. The reach over. We're getting a little too comfortable with the reach over the line thing. And this goes in cycles. And we'd been seeing a lot this season, and we hadn't seen it get knocked out yet. But in that case, he was too far away. I don't know why he did it from that far away. He reaches over. It's not even close. And then somebody comes up and hits it. Right. And that was the game. But do you think they win if he gets that play?
I think it's tough, man. I think the Bengals would that really might have deflated them if he has scored there. And yeah, of course, go low. I think maybe you'll see those go away now. I think you see those go away now. I think everything's going to be low for the most part. And especially when you can have a fullback, you know, shove you in the ass until you get through the goalpost, basically. So, but back to Harbaugh for a second. Those timeouts suck that he had those. I think he was like roofied the last drive. What was that second down play that when he ran it? Yeah, because
and they got the holding?
He got the holding, but best case scenario, he gets 1 yard and the clock runs, right? So you're really wasting a timeout there. But that's really what killed him. 2nd and 20, 3rd and 24th, right?
Yeah.
That was unfortunate, that fumble six. Our boy Nathan Hubbard, right? Is that who returned that? Some kind
Nathan
of
Hubbard. No, he's 105 yards.
Yeah.
So they would have gone up 7, and I think they probably win if they get that, because it felt like it just felt like they were locked in. They were super physical. That they were hit. They were laying the pads all over the place. I really liked how they played. And then they all fit in the room. Is not only did Lamar play, he wasn't in the building.
Right.
And I just think that's super weird. There's no defense for it. Like, I know he's hurt, but are you the leader of the team? Like, the quarterback's supposed to be the leader of the team or one of the leader of the team. How is he not at the game? And then if it's like, if you're going to play next week, why wouldn't you want to be in the sidelines? You couldn't have offered help or assistant anyway. So as far as we know, he wasn't there. And to me, I just read that as that guy's out, and that it doesn't seem like they really care either.
Yeah, I'm with you on all that. I don't think he comes back. I think he said goodbye to them early in the week when he laid out all his, you know, what's going on with his leg and everything. And, you know, I'm not saying was it Vic who said, you know, put that thing in a brace and play? I'm not sure that's the answer either, but come to the game no matter what. Just sit there. Don't talk to anybody, but at least be seen at the game. That's what's weird. I was also going to ask you, like, if they score there, we were going back and forth on text. Do you go for two if you're the Ravens?
Yeah, I thought they 100% would have gone for two. And of course, the Collinsworth never mentioned it, but yeah. I think they would have. And I think the history of Harbaugh says he would have. I was thinking at the start of that drive. I was like, this is it. This game's not going to overtime.
Because I don't know if it would help, but it doesn't. It's different now. The playoff rules, you know, this is the first year where both teams get it. Even if, like, even if the Bengals were to get a touchdown, you don't like it?
No, I don't. I don't. If you give up a touchdown on the opening drive of overtime, go home. You deserve to lose. Yeah. Do your job. Don't give up a fucking touchdown.
Yeah, I know. But when you're 4 hours in, the defenses are kind of.
This is class. This is our culture now. This is everybody gets a trophy. Everyone's the MVP of the 8-year-old baseball team. This is what we've turned into. Where both sides have to get the ball now.
You know, you sound like Prince Harry right now. Is that who you want to sound like? Oh, no, I sound like Prince Harry. One of us sounds like Prince Harry.
That's so funny because I was going to actually bring Prince Harry in and talk about the Lamar Jackson situation. Should I bring him in?
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear him.
Prince Harry, come on in. I just don't understand why this bloke who's getting paid to perform in these American football games would not be on the sidelines. I remember with the royal family. I'm losing it. I've lost the accent. I had it for a second.
You
had
a little...
I was so Prince close. Harry, it started to sound like a Nashville accent.
Ted Cruz a little bit. Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, since we started making fun of Prince Harry in the podcast last week, the world turned against him. He became punchline.
You did a good job with that.
It was really great. I felt like I was 2 days early on it. Loser.
He's going to go back.
That guy.
Back to the motherland.
How do you read your own book where you have those passages that like Kimmel was doing them all week, but do these passages about how your dick had frostbite?
Yeah.
Like, you're just sitting in a recording studio reading that? How humiliating. How much money do you... Like, what else would you do for money? Would you go on, like, that... What's that show where Joe Rogan made you eat stuff?
Fear Factor?
Like, would he go on that? What would Prince Harry do for a paycheck at this point?
Well, here's what's going to kill you. I mean, I say leave well enough alone. I know you don't like that. He's doing absolutely nothing and profiting off of it.
Well, yeah.
What's going to happen when he, like, goes into comedy? And someone has to buy his sitcom or has to do this or
Prince Harry.
God forbid.
Isn't he already in comedy right now?
Yeah, I know. But intentional.
Did you hear
comedy.
Some of the excerpts of his book?
I did.
He's doing performance comedy.
Do 20 minutes on his frozen penis at the Laugh Factory. You're going to hate it.
Yeah. I'm so glad America has come on my side.
I don't even know what we're talking about.
Just whining about shit. Here's my book. I'm just going to whine about shit for 400 pages. This one day is it? You think one of your sons is going to write a book about your other sons? Like, this sounds like something Jack might do. And then one day, Archie drank the rest of the orange juice, and there was none left. Chapter two.
It's actually my parent corner. Way to step on it. Thank you. That's exactly.
Oh shit. Chapter no, four. I went to poop, and there was no toilet paper left. What a loser. Go home, Prince Harry. See, go back. Find another country. Get out of this one, loser.
It goes full circle. It comes full circle. We go with Prince Harry pooping and back to Lamar Jackson talk. Running off the field.
Yeah, true. Lamar and Prince Harry. Maybe that should be the podcast. Lamar can complain about the Ravens and Prince Harry can complain about everything else. Then this other time we were playing Scrabble. And William turned over the cue. He made believe it was a blank. I went to my room crying.
You have to have him on. You have to have him on.
What are we talking about? He doesn't have any hobbies. So he whines about his life. What are we going to have a conversation about?
This is going to be a little inside baseball. I wish you were there for the second, but for this. But we had a few executive producers. Our second one was Duncan Gray over at Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
And he came out from London. He does even a better English accent than you do. And I told him about Prince Harry and your thing with him and everything. And what's he doing? He doesn't, you know, he's making a name for himself here. He doesn't do anything. And I'm like, we can't stand him. And our friend Daniel's like, oh, no, we love him. We do love, we've embraced him. We really love him. And so now Duncan's confused. And I'm like, oh, forget it. I'm walking.
Wait, Daniel said we loved him?
Yeah, he said we love him.
Who loves him?
I don't know. And then I'm like, well, maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe this is just Simmons' thing. And then I'm looking around. I'm like, no, we don't love him. This is crazy. I mean, I guess people watch everything he puts out. So in that regard, we love him. But who loves him?
My dad didn't hug me for 4 months. Bengals Ravens. Joey B, our guy Joe Burrow was slinging a little bit, trying to make stuff happen. They didn't really block for him the second part of the game. And Huntley just, you know, you can only go so far with the Huntley, Skylar Thompson types. If you're playing, especially on the road, pretty hard to win with those guys.
Well, you know, House loved this stat, this trend, and I loved it too. So first time playoff quarterbacks against non-first time playoff quarterbacks, just 22% against the spread. And what did they do this year? They went 3-0 today. Huntley.
Is that true?
Skylar Thompson, Huntley, and who else would it be? Who was the first game? Oh, Daniel Jones. Yeah. Yeah, they went 3-0 against the spread.
That Ravens line was too high. It just was. You knew that was going to be a one score game, and you knew the Ravens defense was going to show up. I didn't understand it. And the Sharps bet it down.
Mm-hmm.
In the 12 hours leading up to the game, they bet it down, what, 2 points?
It's so tough, North ball. AFC North football was really, really rough. I think you're right. It didn't matter what happened last week. This was going to be a good game this week. And I don't know. These teams
are
just so built.
And they talked to McPherson. They're like, look, man, if you guys go up 9-0, can you miss the PAT so the score looks weirder? He's like, cool, I got this.
Well, that's what's weird. That guy was so hot going into the playoffs last year, right? Now he's...
I don't trust him anymore. Even the PATs, I'm like, is this going to go in? Mm-hmm. So that it feels like Lamar's done there. And I don't know what team will be desperate enough to trade for him, but it will be a team. Somebody will do it. We saw Cleveland pay $250 million in 3 firsts for Deshaun Watson. Lamar will get at least 80% of that as a trade haul. And I'm sure the Ravens will move on, would be my guess. And the fact
I still
that he
think
wasn't there.
I still think they franchise tag him, but you're right. He's got to remember to show up to the games. It's imperative.
Mally Rubin, diehard Ravens fan.
Oh, yeah.
Her take was one of the worst plays of my entire life, the Huntley play. Seriously, wow. I'll remember it until I die, was her take on Huntley reaching over the goal line.
Hmm.
And then later to fantasy and those guys. I'll carry that one with me to the grave.
Wow, that's
dark
stuff.
Wanted a Ravens Bengals win. Yeah. For it.
That's Prince Harry talk right there. I don't know. You better keep an eye on her.
What were your gambling highlights for round one? Were you up or down this weekend?
No, I was up because ultimately San Francisco, Buffalo, and what's the last one? Cincinnati was a winner. So I put all my eggs on that, but I screwed up with you. I pulled you into that Chargers bet, that future and the stupid Bills.
I had a big bet at the start of the week. I had the 10-teamer or three-team 10-pointer, with the Niners when it was 10.5, with the Bills when it was 10.5, or Niners when it was 9.5, Bills when it was 10.5 before it jumped, and the Bengals all the way to +3.5. So I had that.
Nice.
And then Saturday I did. The first time in a while, I did a 4-team 13-pointer, which I don't think I've done in a couple years because I was like, there's no way the Niners lose and there's no way Buffalo loses. So I get to move two other games 13 points. This sounds awesome. So I called House and I'm like, House, talk me out of this. And I laid out the tease. He's like, that's great. I'm doing it. I'm going to do that with you. So I'm like, is that a good sign or a bad sign? Now House is doing this with me.
Was it Jacksonville?
Had Jacksonville +15.5. And Lawrence is just throwing picks left and right. And I'm like, this is my fault. I did this. I had the Chargers -2.5 on million-dollar picks, but then this Jacksonville one. And then somehow they covered it. So anyway, I hit it. I have
that.
The last one is your team, 10.5 tomorrow night, Dallas.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I feel good about that. Well, I mean, whenever you want to talk about it, I'm ready.
Let's do it now.
I'm not shying away. We're going to win. This is an 8-9 team. I think 2.5 is a steal that it went down to 2.5. Everybody wants to talk about Dak and how he's going to throw an interception. And he's going to because that's what he does. But I think it's going to be about the defense. I think we bury Brady. You know, they were averaging like 4 sacks a game through the first 12. And then like Micah Parsons hurt and this and that. He's healthy. I'm reading great things about him. Van Der Esch is back. Micah Parsons just had a baby girl. He was snubbed from the All-Pro roster, which is a joke. And you know what, Simmons? You know what I'm calling him? I'm calling him Micah Possum because he's playing possum. He's going to put Brady in the dirt. Here comes Dallas into the big sombrero. Legacy game. Brady, no longer the GOAT after this one. 28-21 Cowboys. There you go.
Interesting. Right. I think if you win, it's even more substantial.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Because I'll
take it.
The longer that Tampa team hangs around, we've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
That's like
Mike Evans talking shit. You had one good game in the last 3 months. What are you doing? Go ahead. Bring it.
I took Dallas in $1 million picks. Mm-hmm. I took them in real life, and I feel good about it because I think this line should be Dallas by 4.5 or Dallas by 5.5, something like that. It's two things that seems to reflect the line. One is this perception that Dallas is like slumping or not playing well or is vulnerable, which is like, would you go 12-5?
Yeah.
All right, you're a little unfocused in week 18 against Washington in a game that really didn't ultimately matter at all.
No. Right.
So now I'm supposed to be scared. Like after the week one loss to Tampa, like you had two OT losses, you lost mm-hmm. to Philly and that was it. Dak, people are now treating like he's Skylar Thompson because he's looked shaky. I'm not the most giant Dak fan, but it's not like this Tampa team's a joke. You're just way better than them. I don't, like, if you lose this game, this is a catastrophe.
Yes.
It's a catastrophe.
He'll be fine. You know, Josh Allen was right behind him. It was like one interception behind Dak. You know,
right.
These guys throw. That's what they do. So you're not going to give up on the Bills because of Josh Allen. He's better than Dak. But believe me, there's other factors. I'm telling you, I think CeeDee Lamb goes nuts. I think we turn Brady over at least three times. 28-21, I'm being a little generous, but take it.
Well, you know what position is still open? Every What's year, that? Round one, we have the team that comes out of round one looking great, and we overrate them based just on the round one game. Nobody was really that team this week, and it feels like your team could slide into that spot with like a big-ass win over Tampa. Followed by, whoa, Dallas, better watch out for them, and then we go.
Well, then I was trying to caution you with the Giants for that, but you don't want to hear it. You think he's the best, Danny.
They barely won. What are you talking about? Minnesota was moving the ball down the field. They barely won. Minnesota had the ball, the chance to win.
Yeah, that's true.
It wasn't like the Giants were awesome. I was nervous. All right, let's do guest alliance. So we have three definite games, and then we're going to do mock guesses for the fourth game who the hell knows what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right.
We also don't know when these games are going to be played, but I assume the Dallas.
No, we do. I got them all.
Give us the matchups.
So Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, Jacksonville at KC. Saturday, 8:15 Eastern, Giants at Philly.
Oh.
Sunday, 3 Eastern, because they move them up now. Sunday, 3 Eastern, Cincy at Buffalo. Sunday, 6:30 Eastern, either Dallas or Tampa at San Francisco.
Hmm.
That's Sunday. Oh, Sunday's so going to be good.
Given Sunday's the NFC poll positions.
Yeah.
Okay. So KC Jacksonville's the first game.
Yep.
I think they're going to jack this up so we can't tease KC. So I think it goes 9 or over. Mm-hmm. And it's either 9.5 or 10. And I'm going to say KC by 10.
All right. You get this. I said 10.5. I think it should be in 10.5, 11 range. It's 8.5.
Oh,
that's too
still
low.
Teasable.
You could still get that teaser if you want.
Hop online and grab that one. Wow.
That's who still is too this going to be one? This is actually the same kind of same time, too. Wasn't it Mariota who went into Kansas City? AFC South team, kind of the same thing. Threw a touchdown pass to himself. Should we be worried about this or should we just tease the Chiefs? They're going to advance.
I can't even keep track of all the Andy Reid playoff teases that we've lost since I've known you. There's been at least 5.
Yeah.
It's like, we got it. Last year we had one. Well, let's talk this out. What did Jacksonville show you last night? So that
first pick
Lawrence throws was tipped by 2 people. And then the second pick was the most obvious PI of the weekend that wasn't called. Mm-hmm. So those were the first two. And the third and fourth throws were bad. And then he was really good from basically the fourth interception on. I was tweeting about, I had this thing in my column way back. It was a mailbag question where the guy said, because Jake Delhomme had this famous game in the playoffs. I think round one or round two in 09. He had five picks, including a pick six, and he had a fumble. And he was saying it was, the reader was saying that that should be the Delhomme during the regular season, or the full Delhomme if you have the pick six. And then if it's in the playoffs, it's the Royal Delhomme.
Right.
So Lawrence was eligible for the Royal Delhomme.
Yeah.
And then he rallied. And I don't know. Kirk's been playing really well. I think Kirk's been getting open for them. And ETN, like, he does have some speed on the outside. Like, he does keep teams honest. And I do think their front four, like, they've gotten pressure the last couple weeks. At least against the Chargers, it was fairly impressive the way they pressured Herbert. So,
yeah, he got sacked three times. He was pressured. Well, here's the other part of it. They didn't want any part of the Chargers, the Chiefs, right? It's like, oh, and everybody, all the pundits, like, oh, if the Chargers go to Kansas City, look out. That's going to be a game. Maybe they're looking past Jacksonville a little. But otherwise, for God's sakes, it's Jacksonville.
It's interesting that the Monday Night Football game, when Hamlin went down and they basically stopped the game.
Yeah.
I think we both thought the Bengals were going to win that game, right? It just felt like it felt like it was their day, and it just, the way they're moving the ball, it was a bigger game for them, whatever. And the Bengals would have been the two seed.
Right.
And instead now it's flipped and the Bills are the two seed, but the Chiefs were always going to be the one seed. Yeah. However that was going to play out.
They just beat the
but
Raiders,
now
right.
It really feels like we're heading toward this KC versus Buffalo and Atlanta with the way the Bengals offensive line is. Mm-hmm. Which makes me think it's too easy on paper and something fucked up is going to happen. Yeah. Either with Jacksonville or Cincy. Somebody's going to screw this up.
Look, can I just say something about the... And I'm with you. I mean, I had money on the Bengals and it was unfortunate, whatever. I forgot about the money immediately with DeMar Hamlin and the situation. But then we thought about, like, oh boy, the Bengals might have been winning that game. Then I look at these games. Not one of them ended up like it started. Look at the five games this weekend, right?
You're right.
The Niners was tied at half or whatever. It was close, then they blew them out, right? The Chargers were crushing the Jaguars, came back to win. The Bills, I'm texting you, we're in the money, all this, right? I think the Vikings scored first, right? Were they up 7-0?
Yeah, and they scored the first drive.
So they do change. Maybe it wasn't a foregone conclusion. You know, it'll suck if, it won't matter if the Bengals win, right? Because there was no way they were going to catch the Chiefs. But
to me, what they were doing in that game was reflective of what we've seen from the Bills defense the last 4 or 5 weeks. It just seems like you move the ball on them. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter who the team is. People are going up and down the field on them. They're completing third downs on them. They're not getting stops. They're missing tackles in the open field. And I think it's going to continue. But they caught this huge break now with Cincinnati, with probably missing 60% of their line.
Yeah.
And it's lined up for KC in a huge way, because going to Atlanta, being on turf with them, that, you know, you always want to play at home, but it's a pretty good thing for them to be on turf. Mm-hmm. And it just feels like lined up. So to your point, it almost looks too easy. We've been here before with Andy Reid, especially with these 8.5, 9, 9.5, 10-point, throw them in a tease. And I don't know. I'm going to have to look. I'm going to do the research this week to see how many times he's come through in this situation.
You're right. I do feel like now that you're mentioning it, I feel like we've been screwed over a lot.
Wasn't that one? Remember that Baker Mayfield game when Chad Henne came in? That was another one of these, right?
Was that this round? Oh, yeah, you're right.
It was either this round or the next round. They're big favorites against, just feels like year after year, I don't trust them.
Yeah. That was Chad Henne this round. Yep.
So then the
Giants at Philly. Yep.
I feel good about this guess.
You're going to have to get it exactly.
I had Philly by 6.
No, not enough. 7.5.
Oh.
That's what I had.
That's too high. That's too high for my guy Dimes.
Everybody loves these Giants. Oh, Bill, I can see it in your eyes.
Daniel Jones. My God. You know what killed me, by the way? So at the end of the first quarter, they threw to Maria Taylor, Chris Sims, and the Clapper.
Mm-hmm.
And they recap the Giants game. And the Clapper goes, go get him, DJ. That's my guy, DJ. Go get him, DJ. And he does this whole thing. And it's like, DJ, the guy whose career you almost destroyed the last 2 years when you're the offensive coordinator, when you tapped into none of this potential. And by the end of the year, it was like, do we let him go? Do we waive it? Whatever. And they're like, go get him, DJ. It's like, oh man, imagine if you had only been his offensive coordinator. Oh wait, you were for 2 years and you sucked.
I don't know if you remember, now I'm bringing basketball into this, but you remember, obviously, Hoop Dreams, one of the greatest sports documentaries of all time. And the father, who wanted nothing to do with his kid, one of the two kids that it was featured, he's like, yeah, that's my kid. And he's just like rolling his eyes, like, right. Get away from me, old man.
Right.
That's a Daniel Jones look.
Daniel Jones must have been watching that, like, are you fucking kidding me? How dare you call me DJ?
Keep my name out, your mother. By the way, we may have done something different, terrible. We for weeks and weeks and weeks made fun of that tease, that halftime tease where everybody speaks for 3 seconds.
Yeah, they got rid of it. It was just Maria
did it alone.
Yeah.
Now I miss it. We screwed up. I apologize.
We should just kept that to ourselves.
I know. You're right.
Prince Harry was tweeting about Daniel Jones. You go get him, DJ. Now I've lost it. I've completely lost the English accent.
He'll work on it. It'll be fine.
All right. So you got that one. And then the last one that's static for Guess the Lines. This is a Sunday game, Buffalo home for Cincinnati.
Yes.
I would have said Buffalo -3.5, except this offensive line injury stuff. I'm going to bump it a point. I'm going to say Buffalo 4.5. I'm putting this in the Vegas zone, Sal.
I got it exactly. I'm not cheating, I swear. I got it. It's 4. Look right now on FanDuel.
Okay. I should have bumped it a half point.
I would have thought it would be, if not for the injuries, I just think Cincinnati's better. I'm taking Cincinnati. I'm riding this team.
They get their left tackle back. I'm gonna take him too.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing with the +4 is they could get the cheap touchdown in garbage time, even if they're down 10. It's not right. Like Buffalo's not going to give that up.
You talked about NFC, who you trust most. Go ahead. Who's number one in the AFC? What quarterback? I put Joey B right there.
I love Joey B.
Number one. Number all.
Joey B. I mean, Mahomes would be, why isn't he number one?
I think he's the trust factor is just a little different. Like I leave my wife with him for a week.
Joe Burrow. Yeah, third and one play. Oh my God!
They showed a clip of him bumping into me walking through the tunnel. That was that was a career highlight. I don't even know if he meant to do it.
Did you see when? I think it was after the first quarter, maybe it was halftime, when Melissa Stark interviewed John Harbaugh, and she's like,
"What do we have to do? What do we have to keep doing?"
He's like, "What you preached? No turnovers, and Huntley just had that pick." What needs to happen is like, don't have turnovers. And he's like getting pissed. And it comes back to Collinsworth. He's like, whoa. Melissa really tapped into something there, whatever he said. I was dying. It was so awkward. Why do they interview the coaches during the games? What are they going to say?
I don't know, but I think they should like set it up. There should be a disclaimer like, all right, I'm going to ask you a dumb question and it's not my fault. It's kind of my boss wants me to ask this. So do you think you need to still turn the ball over to win? Would that be okay? There it is. So just save yourself a little. Or Melissa Stark.
What if she had just said, John, I can't help but notice Lamar Jackson isn't here. Does it bother you? It's just like a Barbara Walters question. He's just on the
offensive. In the bathroom. Yeah.
No, he's coming out. He'll be here soon. All right, so we're going to guess we're going to do two guesses for the San Francisco game.
Yeah, let's do it. And you'll have to beat me here to win the week.
Okay. All right, for Dallas, I'm going to say San Francisco by 4.5.
Ooh. Oh, boy, we're going to be way off then. I said 2.5.
Oh, so there's no line?
No, that's not even a game yet. No.
Okay.
We're going to have
to let
everybody
know. For Tampa, I have the Niners by 7.
I said 5. All right, so someone's going to win this out of us.
I'm winning.
You're winning that? You think so, huh?
I'm winning one of this.
I mean, they always pump Dallas up, don't they, with these?
Yeah. Well, Dallas is the most public team possible.
Right. So you're good. It's going to be less than what it should be.
All right. Let's take a break and do Parent Corner and talk about the JKL 20th anniversary party. Today's Parent Corner is brought to you by CarMax. CarMax makes shopping for a car easy for everyone with thousands of CarMax certified cars to choose from. There's a perfect match for your budget and life. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined.
Is it my turn?
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you've had to deal with senior pictures yet. High school senior pictures. It's
had to deal with them. Yes.
You know, you order a bunch. They take a few poses and, you know, there's one for the yearbook and then there's another one that's not the yearbook that you could pick that I guess you hand out to the grandparents, right? Whoever's still alive. So we didn't have this. At least I don't remember having this, the touch-up process. Now you could pay to get the pictures all touched up, right? When we went to school, like if you had a zit right between the eyes, that's it.
Yeah, so if your right eye was going the different direction, yeah, you're stuck with it.
Right. That was if you committed a crime and they showed that on TV 15 years later, that's your picture or, you know, whatever. If you just look through the yearbook, that's how you were remembered. Now you have it retouched and it's supposed to clear up acne or, you know, if the hair is weird. So one of the pictures, I thought three of them were fine. And then one of them, like my son Archie had, I guess, like flyaways. I guess his hair was a little messed up. So my wife had them fix it. And the way they fixed it, he ended up having like a mullet. And I thought it was hilarious. And, but I was dying laughing. And she is so upset. And even Archie's like kind of laughing at this point. Yeah. And, you know, he didn't care. I didn't care. It's one of four pictures. We could pick the other one. And then I'm like, why are you like, really, like a visceral reaction to them? I'm like, what? So what? We're going to pick the others. This is kind of funny. I want to hang this in my room. You don't have to give this out. And then she told me how much we pay for these retouchings.
Oh, no.
And I decided someone better erase this fucking mullet very soon. I mean, do you ever look into how much is paid for retouchings? In California, at least.
You could tell me any number and I would probably believe
it. I'm not even going to say it. No, I'm not even going to say it. But the point is, these kids have a million pictures up on Instagram, right? They're going to remember. When we had our yearbooks, this was one of, you know, before our parents, when they had their yearbooks, it was the only picture taken of them within 7 years, right? So yes, that it would have made more sense then. But do we really need to pay hundreds of dollars, I'm not going to say, to retouch these damn photos when there's 10,000 of them posted a year on any site you want to look at? I say,
yeah,
no.
Why can't you just post your own? It's a racket.
Right.
It's it a really money is. Grab.
Yeah, you're right.
I think you should have to submit a digital picture and not use the yearbook photographer. And then we could all save money and maybe put that toward the prom party or something.
We've gone crazy with the pictures, like even like Pony League baseball pictures. Like, okay, pictures are on Sunday at noon. Like, can't we just do it after a game? We all have these iPhones that take really good pictures, get the kids together. They're in their uniforms, take them out. No, because the leagues and everybody has to make money. Like, all right, we don't even have a game Sunday. Like, really? We have to go to this? Oh, man, it just drives me crazy. Pictures.
That's my least favorite.
Enough already.
The picture day. Your weekend hasn't been ruined enough by the fact that your kids play sports. Can you show up an hour early?
Yeah,
an hour
it's a
earlier
separate event.
Than usual. Or maybe even we don't even have a game.
Hour early. Yeah, we didn't have a game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Enough. All right, go ahead.
My son finished the football season. He weighed 155 pounds.
I like where this is going.
He started the season weighing like 163, but he was playing wide receiver and he was initially playing linebacker. But I think there was so much running and the pads and it was just, and he just like, couldn't keep the weight on and got to the point where he couldn't even play defense. He was too small. So he finished season, he's 155. And he's like, that's never happening again. I'm putting on the weight. So they start the lifting and he starts like, I will say this. I know we've made fun of my son a lot, but when he's like determined to do something
good,
like first of all, he's always on time. If he has a plan, like he really does like execute it. So he talks to people about how can I put on weight? And they tell him like, you got to eat more and you got to like turn it into muscle. And he's like, fine, I get it. And you know, you've seen him anyway. He has one of those weird, crazy bodies anyway.
Yeah.
So now it's what, mid-January. So it's 2 months after the season ended. He weighs 175.
Wow.
He put on the weight back that he lost during the season. So he was around 161 and he put on like 13 pounds of muscle. And the reason I mention this I think he can officially beat me in a fight now.
Oh, no.
I think it's like officially over. Like, and I think he knows it now. There's a different, there's a different energy in our house now where he's like, he kind of knows he's the alpha. And I would still beat him because I would fight to the death, but I'd really have to cheat now. Like, I would have to like poke him in the eye.
Yeah,
I would have to hit him in the balls.
Right,
yeah, I'd have to hit him in the balls. I would have to like grab his hair. I'd have to like basically, I'd have to like Roddy Piper it basically. I'd have to throw salt in his eyes when he's not looking. But if it's just conventional, I'll know all the tricks. I'll still win. It's like what my wife plays tennis six times a week and I'll always be able to beat her because I can always get in her head.
Mm-hmm.
With him, I'll still win. But if it's just straight up, like if we're in like a UFC cage or something, like he's winning now. It's over.
Yeah.
My day is done. It's a wrap.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? It's over? You don't want to check Next Gen stats or Kornacki or something? Come out here and figure it out for you? It's really over. 52%.
I think it's done. 175 is like pretty, he's like 5'11 and a half, 175. He has no body fat. And he's just like, he's just walking around with his boxer shorts, kind of like sizing me up.
Yeah.
Like if this goes down, I'm winning. He has a kind of look to him now.
Do you, so you should just ask him. Why don't you ask him straight out? What would he say if you asked him? Like, you think you could take me right now?
Oh, he would say, absolutely, I could take you. And then I would just punch him in the balls. And then I would knee him in the head, hit him over the head with a chair. He'd be like, yeah, who's the tough guy now?
Forget about that. Just stop feeding him. That's the problem.
Yeah, I was making meat sauce because I was like to cook during the first day of football. I like to cook and watch football and like make all day of it. And I was making this bison beef. And he's like, can I have half of the second thing of bison beef you're making? And I'm like, what are you going to put it with? He's like, I'm just going to eat it. So like he's in that mindset. So anyway, so now screwed. he's talking about playing lacrosse.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play spring lacrosse so he can hit kids. So this is all happening.
What does he want to be by September or August when football rolls around? Does he want to hit
Bills? He wants to be 180 with all the same speed.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. He might grow. He might have like, you know, 2 more inches.
Well, you know, if he wants to pay like $950, they could really work on his yearbook picture to make him whatever weight he really wants to be. And he could look like the Whale, or, you know, he could look like Chad Johnson, Ocho Cinco, whatever he wants to do.
It'll be the most famous family fight since Prince William shoved Harry lightly backwards in the kitchen that time.
Right.
And sent him off balance for a split second. Which is chapter 18 of the book. Spare. I only exist because they needed my organs in case something happened. Send this guy back to England. Put him on a plane. All right, that's it for Parent Corner. Today's Parent Corner was brought to you by CarMax. Take advantage of the nationwide inventory at CarMax. Start your shopping online, browse and compare their full inventory, and choose a vehicle from any store across the country. Fees and restrictions may apply. Learn more at CarMax.com. CarMax, car buying reimagined. All right, so this was a big week for us.
Can I just say, I know we broke already, but you think that them making sure Prince Harry lives with us is for all the shitty games we sent them, sent London, all the times we sent the Jaguars over there? And they're like, all right, we'll get you back.
Like, we got you back.
We got a doozy. It's going to top all that.
Here's some of the worst content you'll ever have in America.
Yeah.
Here you go. So our cousin has his 20th anniversary.
Yeah.
It is going to be basically 11 days from now. We're taping this on January 15th, Sunday. So the real anniversary is January 26th. So he shot the anniversary show on Friday. And then there was this giant party on Friday night that was basically Jimmy's wedding all over again. It was everyone who worked on the show basically was invited. Mm-hmm. 650 people showed up. It was this giant long tent that never ended.
Right.
And it was just this big, crazy drunk fest. And there was a show that day and pretty emotional show. I didn't see it, but you were there. And
yes.
And the whole weekend was great and got to see a lot of faces we hadn't seen in a while. And everybody had an awesome time. But I think the big thing for me, and I'm sure you felt even more strongly about this because you stayed on the show way longer than I did, but just not just the 20 years, but all the people involved in the 20 years and just like that passed through the vortex of that show. It was really amazing, especially like when you think that first year, so easily could have been over in a flash the moment ABC was like, wait, what are we doing? And it just kept going. And now you have this two-decade run of it. It was hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people. I think there's still 17 still there from the first day.
That's
and
right.
It was just really cool. And Jimmy gave a long speech, and I was just so proud of him and so happy for him. It was great.
He did great, and he made a great speech, and he did his best to really thank everybody he could. I mean, he did it by memory, and then he would like just pick people out in the crowd and thanked everybody that was there. But yeah, you're right. It's Bob Iger actually made a speech and like really brought into focus how close we were to not making it to 20 days, let alone 20 years. I mean, it really is. There's a lot of luck involved, and obviously Jimmy's hard work and pushing the right buttons and all that. But really, yeah, it was like waves, like four different waves of employment were there, right? Like, I don't know if you, I was trying to like cut it into like 3 or 4 or 5 year chunks. And we saw a lot of the originals.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like Ray Oldhofer, we try to run from. And then we found out he was sober. Like, oh, okay, well, we'll talk to him. And then he's still covering our face, playing what he calls the breathing game with us, even though we're like in our 50s and everything, where he really tries to stop us from breathing. But yeah, it was like, did you feel like it was like your wedding, except like times, like every time you turned around, there was someone new to talk to. It was very, very, very cool.
It was great. Ray greeted me with a kiss on the cheek, and then he punched me in the stomach good naturedly. And I was still delighted to see him. He was the inventor of Touch the Back, which was, there was a bus that went a couple times when you guys did the man show, the bus going from point A to point B. And he created this game called Touch the Back, where somebody at the front of the bus had, I guess the game was just, you had to touch the back.
Yeah, you just yell someone's name, like, touch the back, Simmons, touch the back. And then you'd be in the front and you'd have to try to get to the back while everybody fights you off. And then, but then you'll end up, it's like Royal Rumble style. You'll end up having like 3 or 4 people at a time eventually trying to touch the back. And it's just bedlam. But yeah, Ray
Yeah, but Ray invented the, he's basically like, I don't know who invented the top pass in football or something. It's like, hey, if you throw it, the ball will move faster. Ray would take all his clothes off and then basically just try to touch the back, and you had to decide whether you're going to touch naked Ray or not. That was what
it was worse than that.
Yeah, it was worse than that. I don't want to say what he would do.
Yeah, he would stick his fingers somewhere
and
lead forward, and then you really had to think about what. Thank God he didn't do any of that on Friday.
No, he's older and more mature now. Yeah. But he was there. And then, the original EP, Daniel Callison, who was saying he didn't want to go, but that we knew he was going to go. And then, of course, he was as delighted as anybody to be there, because he'd hired, a huge bunch of the first batch of the people.
Yeah.
But then
I felt like there were a lot of people, our friends KP and Lisa, who were the bookers, but we're not comfortable with their jobs for various reasons in the beginning. Like, they maybe thought they were like, out of there, first of all, very
overmatched.
Hard. Yeah, well, it was a hard show to book, right? Like, Jimmy had, the man show roots were deep. It was very tough to get a female guest, right? We shot at 9 p.m. live, right? 9:05. So the publicists themselves were like, we don't want to ruin our night. So in order to make up for that, we had this kick-ass green room, which ended up being like the best in town, right? I mean, it would be open till 2 a.m. with hard alcohol flowing. And so that sometimes that overpowered the show, but anyway, but these people were like, I think they were a little skittish going in, and then like an hour and they're like whooping it up. Like, yeah, this is the best time of our lives. We don't even care who's here.
Yeah. The first year, probably the green room was one of the big signature pieces of the show, for better or worse. Yeah. I think by the fourth day, Leno had basically put out the ultimatum of, if you do that Kimmel show, you don't get to do ours.
Right.
So the guests dried up pretty much immediately. Mm-hmm. We had the Armenian comedian as a guest on our fourth show.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed really iffy. What would you have put after that first week? What were the Vegas odds we were making it out of year one?
See, I think you had a better sense of everything. I'm an idiot.
You were too close.
I thought everything was great. I was like, you probably thought Coldplay opening on Hollywood Boulevard was good. Not, I thought Carolla and Jimmy sticking the Armenian comedian's puppet in a deep fryer while they were drunk.
That was funny.
I thought that would move the ratings too. So I had no idea.
What worried me was the lack of guests.
Yeah.
I really felt like this is bad. This is a talk show that's relying on celebrities and we can't seem to get them already. And this seems like not great. Also, like, you know, there was so many just learn on the fly type things where Jimmy behind the desk and Jimmy turning, instead of looking at the camera, always turning over Cleto. So it's the side of Jimmy's head and Jimmy's not wearing a tie and all these things we had to figure out on the fly. Mm-hmm. That now it's like, oh my God, it's so crazy we didn't do it the other way. But that was the great thing is he got to learn and figure it out and eventually figure out what his version of a show that's on at 11:35 should be. And then he figured it out.
Yeah.
And then 20 years later, there we were all getting drunk together.
Then you have a crazy party. Baby doll James Dixon smoking indoors. Like a tent is indoors, right? We were in a tent.
You know what's funny? He just did it immediately. We had been there for 45 minutes. I posted two pictures on Instagram. Daniel had an unbelievable picture of him smoking a cigarette with your Aunt Chippy indoors in a tent, just sitting on two couches. Like it's like 1957. He just doesn't care. And I don't know what was going to happen to him. I don't know. But I had dinner with him Thursday night too. He is in a smoking frenzy. I don't know whether marrying off two daughters. I don't know. But he's just
not slowed down at all.
He's not slowed down.
And he's still showing his abs to like the waitresses. And he's really dark, right? Because he spent all of January in, where is he? Florida.
Yeah.
God bless him. He almost set that tent afire though. He really did.
Well, so his daughter just got married and he had a very, very big and expensive tent for the wedding. Mm.
Right.
This party we had that ABC threw for 650 people had an even longer, bigger tent, which Dixon then made a point of telling everybody that his tent was still better than this long seven. It was like comparing the Astrodome to like, you know, a tiny high school basketball gym. But he was like, my tent was still bigger and better.
Yeah, look at the top of the tent. You could see through. That's bullshit. You didn't have that with my tent. Thank you for
couldn't
to
see,
Regency
you couldn't
tents.
See the fucking sky. And then him and Mike August made up, sort of.
That was nice. Mike August, who blew off the wedding and blew off a gift. And so I think things are coming together. It was a nice night.
I talked to so many people that I was so pumped to see. One of them was Daniel's first assistant, Naomi, who was great, who was always like one of those people who are like, wow, we could probably put her in charge of the show and she'd do a better job than some of the people we have. And she was dating this actor who used to come to the green room all the time that first year, Adam. And we were like, oh yeah, Adam wants to be an actor. He was a super nice guy. I was like, oh yeah, Adam's good. And we knew so many actors. Like, I was another one of those actors. And then one day he came in and was like, or Naomi came in and was like, Adam got Scorsese movie, The Aviator. It's about Howard Hughes. And we're like, what? Right. And it was like all the, and then he became Adam Scott. He's been 20 years. Now he's in New York filming Severance season 2. But he was in that first year and that was that green room. It was all that like John Hamm generation. These guys that moved here in the 96-2003 era, trying to make it, all these comedians, because Sarah was like the queen bee of all the comedians at that point. So all the comedians were in there from that era. And Jeff Ross, obviously, and all, but it was just everybody. So that was the green room. It was all
Then there was the Aaron Pauls of the world who used to sneak into the green room, right? And it wasn't really, had no career at all. And it's like, just because it was the place to be.
And
yeah, it's a miracle.
Everyone's having this huge party, drinking, go nuts. And you and I are in the back playing some dumb video game. What was that video game?
Oh, football? Which one was
like
it?
Some football game. It was like Blitz, Super Blitz.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I are back there as everybody's getting bombed and Tracy Morgan shirtless standing up and you and I are like arguing with each other about the fourth quarter. It's a blitz game while our girlfriends have no idea where we are. No, the show ran late. We're going to be back later. We're playing a video game for an hour.
My cousin Mickey used to drop my Uncle Frank off because he liked to immediately go home and watch himself on TV, right? So she'd drop him off like in North Hollywood and come back to party in the green room. Like that's how crazy it was.
People are astounded that we were in an office together for 18 months. People just think we became friends through Jimmy and then the podcast, which we've had for 16 years. But the part where we were sitting next to each other in an office for 18 months always flabbergasts people. Because I always tell people when they ask me, I'm like, yeah, we would write jokes and Sal would write like 5 jokes and then he would just annoy me and bother me for the next 20 minutes so I couldn't write jokes. And then I would finally go, I would sneak out with a notebook and I would go sit on a fire escape to get away from you so I could write 25 minutes of jokes because we had no internet back then. Right. And I would just handwrite all my jokes and then come back and frantically type them as you were like trying to hit the space bar and knock me and hit me and like just torture me.
I knew it would work. It was a method to my madness.
Or you would stand behind my, you would stand behind me as I was typing. What are you typing? Like you were like, you were like Bill Murray. What about Bob?
And then you,
the best thing for me was you, then you would move over to somebody else at the office. So I would have 10 minutes while you tortured somebody else, but you had all these.
We needed to look, but then we would look at NBA games, right? There was some of these sketchy websites where we would bet.
Oh, yeah. We were early. That was early internet gambling. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it. Well, that's, what so if teams? Yeah.
We would write jokes and then whatever. I would go get a coffee and then we'd spend the next hour and a half figuring out who we're going to bet on the 4 o'clock NBA or baseball or whatever.
Right.
And then go down rehearsal. And that was our routine.
Well, and then we'd have to watch. There were no, now they have what's called TV watchers who like to, they have, they spend all the TV.
Right.
And they watch for clips that we could put in the show and everything.
So
and
it's like Prince Harry getting interviewed by Oprah and it's like somebody's watching that and writing notes.
Right. But that was big. Was that near the strike? I mean, it was flooded with reality TV, right? So it was like, yeah. I'm a celebrity, get me out of here. So we were assigned what
Joe
time?
Millionaire.
Yeah, Joe Millionaire. We would watch Survivor. We would run clips, you know, and like, I'm trying to think of what's that. Yeah.
Well, I remember the first one was that there was a Michael Jackson 2020 interview when it was like he had this 13-year-old kid that he was friends with. And the kid was like, no, he was always great to me. Mm-hmm. And it was just like the craziest off the wall interview ever. And I think that was the first one that we ran clips from. And then Jimmy kind of made jokes before and after. And then we were like, oh, that's something. And then it was a little bit of the talk suit model, but it felt unique to him. And then all of a sudden we were watching every show trying to grab clips and stuff to make fun of.
What was it? Paradise? Not Paradise Island. Something Island.
Temptation Island.
Temptation Island.
Paradise Hotel was one.
That's I'm mixing them up.
Yeah, we were watching all those trying to grab comedy. Trying to
it was good to
along.
See everybody. It was great. A great party. Our buddy Paul Kohlhorst couldn't make it. Shout out to him.
Yeah, that was too bad.
He'll make the 25th anniversary show. But this, we had a great time.
I want to say that I would have stayed longer, but it was my wife's birthday. And it was time to get her out of there.
Really?
We've been together a long time. It was, you know, it was like, she was like that pitcher that's like, wow, you made it to the eighth inning. I don't think... Is one more batter is risky. We got two guys on. Let's get you out. I looked over my shoulder and there was like an ice luge and somebody was pouring her a shot down the ice luge.
Oh no.
She's like, it's my birthday. And I'm like, all right, we're going. Fat here.
I think she accused Super Dave's wife of looking like Stevie Nicks. And she's like, what? That's fine, right? I'm like, yeah, I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. She could take that.
Stevie Nicks?
That's what she said. She's like, I told Super Dave's wife she looked like Stevie Nicks. I don't think she liked it too much.
Well, our friend Daniel didn't recognize our friend Shrifty's wife, which is a big thing.
Yeah, you should have taken him home.
Yeah. I think he was the last to leave. Anyway, it was a great night. Very proud of our guy. And when's that? So that is that show running that night?
It'll be the 26th or 27th, right? 26th. Yeah. 26th.
Can't wait. There's a special little wrinkle to that I'm not going to spoil.
But it's good stuff. Yeah.
We're all very
good. Job by you, Jimmy. Do another 20. Yeah. It's
good
easy,
job
right?
by you, Jimmy. 20 more years. 20 more years. All right, Sal. As always, good job by you. I'll see you in a week.
All right, buddy.
All right, that's it for the podcast. Thanks to Kyle Creighton for producing, as always. Thanks to Cousin Sal. Don't forget about the rewatchables coming Monday night, One Word Movie Month. And I will see you on this feed on Tuesday. So